views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc. Yep, that's me. And I've said goodbye to my cold or flu, whatever you want. Voice might be a little raspy, but I'm just about there, just in case you're wondering. Of course, Club ADHD, the podcast, is part of a three-prong approach. We've got Club ADHD, the podcast, the Twitter account, and the Facebook page. For links, simply go to clubadhd.ca. All the other archived podcasts are also there as well. So if you want to binge, and a lot of people do binge listen, that's good. You can do so. It's all there. Or maybe go to any popular podcast host. iTunes. We're all over the place. Everyone's picking us up. And I'm happy, very happy. And I'm happy you can join us today wherever you are in this big planet of ours. Of course, Club ADHD, the podcast, is a presentation of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. I'd like to thank them for their help in making this happen. Round of applause for them. They're a good group of people. Yes, they cover Canada, and they do a lot of behind-the-scenes work. They meet with government officials, all sorts of people, school boards, wherever. However, if you're outside of Canada, you can take advantage of what they have to offer as well by way of their website. It is jam-packed. I can't say it enough. I say it every podcast, but it's true. A lot of information on that site, as well as upcoming events anywhere. I mean, they go all over the country here in Canada. Here's their website address, cadac.ca. That's CADAC, cadac.ca. Okay, I think I've got all the housekeeping done. It's now time to tell you what's going on in my life in the hopes that maybe you can identify with it, empathize with it, learn from it. We'll learn from it together. The last week since the last time I uploaded the podcast, we got hit, or I got hit with something. Oh, not physically, mentally, whatever you want, economically. Ooh. Yeah, it was an invoice, but not just an invoice. It was, this is it, folks. Time's up. The thing is, I thought that invoice was taken care of. My wife was looking after things. She didn't tell me about it. And to her credit, she didn't want to really upset me and was hoping that we could get this rectified. It didn't get rectified. Yes, it did upset me eventually. not eventually, as soon as we got the registered letter. So what happened? I freaked out. Yes, I do suffer from depression, but this was a freak out. It was a mental breakdown, really. I mean, to look at me. I got angry, not at my wife. I went off on my own and was, you know, just about. It wasn't pretty. That lasted for, I'll admit, for a couple hours at least. And then I had to just think. Think about what I preach. Think about what you have said. Think about Club ADHD, everything I've learned over the past couple of years. Think about all of the times I've spoken with and became an advocate for the last 10 years when it comes to ADHD and speaking with ADHDers, fellow ADHDers. And I said, okay, I'm going to do something that I recommended just a few weeks ago to someone else. I'm going to say, I'm going to get this fixed. I will get this fixed. I have the power to get it fixed. Now, we've talked about this before. We ADHDers are very creative. I've proven to myself that I am creative. Most often when it comes to other people, because as we all know, sometimes we put ourselves last. In this case, I just had to keep saying it. And I said it in a very shaky voice. I said it in front of my wife. She wasn't sure what to think because I teach public speaking and I teach about harmony, and my body language and tonality was not matching the words I was saying. However, I kept saying the words, maybe slightly different, almost like a mantra. She didn't know whether or not to believe me or to have me check into the local mental health hospital. And yes, we have one fairly close. It was that bad, but I kept saying it. I said it, not minutes, hours. Did I believe it? That didn't come into my mind. I just had to keep saying it. I said it, I said it, I said it, and eventually I was snapping out of it. And here's the pivotal point. Thank you, Club ADHD, because one of my fellow our fellow ADHDers reached out to me for some advice. She was struggling. My brain just clicked. I gave her what I believed to be some solid advice. And I was upfront about it. I said, this is the way I view it. Here's why I view it this way. Here's what I suggest you do, but get a professional to make sure I'm accurate. Make sure that what I'm saying is true or not true. That person thanked me big time. She snapped me out of it. I should be thanking her. Now the question, as I've often posed to you before, if we can help other people, if we have the knowledge, not to say that we go in blindly, because we can do that too, but if we have the knowledge to help other people, the capability of helping people, why can't we help ourselves? And sometimes we fail to do that because, I hate to say this, but you get to a point where you think things are hopeless internally. They're not. They shouldn't be. Don't think that way, please. Try not to think that way. We're special people. Okay, now let me flip to another story. A good story that happened to me this week. Surprise, surprise. Every year I teach public speaking at a location that is associated with a local university. I've been doing this for about 18 years. I was asked way back when to do it. The person who approached me knew that I taught public speaking. I don't really teach public speaking. I now call it, I teach connecting, because it's more than that. More than public speaking. Putting on a show. That's the way I feel about it. In any case, he got me involved. He said, could you do it? I said, yeah, I have something. I put together, actually, it's a two-day seminar, and I was teaching it. Well, I did it two or three times to investment planners. Go figure, huh? So I said, sure, I'll just adapt it. And he had to have it on a weekly basis for 2 hours. So I turned it into a six-week course, 2 hours a week on a Tuesday night. Start off on a Wednesday. Oh, so much for the details. I've been doing it, and it's been going over well. And it's a place where I know that, hey, I know this. I've experienced it, I competed, and I guess thanks to my ADHD, I've developed some other strategies. I've seen, you know, time-tested strategies and worked them over a bit, sometimes turn them upside down or threw them out totally. And it's working. And in that environment, I've often said to mental health professionals, you know, that's where I really feel in control. It's unique, no matter what's going on outside. But I do it. This year, it was especially, well, special. Especially special. Every year, the students, they do their final presentation before other students, many of whom took the course, and they always thank me. And also in attendance, the school's senior admin staff, the overseers, as well as some of the teachers and other professors. By the way, I'm not a professor, but some of the students mistakenly referred to me as professor in the hallways, wherever, even in the classroom. Now get this. I'm teaching university students, right? Some have postgraduate degrees, masters, doctorates, you name it. And these students hail from all around the world. Now, guess what? The person who is sometimes mistaken for a professor does not have a university degree. No college degree. Nope. Yeah, I've got a high school degree. You should have seen my marks. Scraped by oh. Now, just for the record, the course I teach is not part of a curriculum. It's a bonus. I don't even mark them per se. I just do it vocally. So here I am. I'm being praised, especially this year. I mean, they're asking, let him teach some more here. Yeah, jokingly, but half jokingly. And it was really, really nice, especially after being hit with a challenge a day and a half before. Actually, the day before. And it proved to me something that I hope you can find in your heart to accept. You don't have to have a piece of paper stating someone else's approval to be good at something. Something that maybe you didn't go and study for. Something that you did practically. Yeah, the School of Hard Knocks. Whatever it is. Or maybe you were born with the information. You know, some people are born to play the guitar. They never had a lesson. And they're tremendous at it. And they can teach others. You know, the same can be true for us. In not every circumstance, but in some. We are creative. We're a special package. Sometimes we're surrounded by troubles, challenges, self-doubt. But if you're willing to get through all that junk, all that crappy wrapping, you'll get to the special part. The stuff that's deep in that box being you. Yeah, you. Who me? Yeah, you. And me. We have to accept that. We have to believe in that. It doesn't work all the time. And maybe for some people it'll be a major struggle. But I'm sure it's there. I know it's there in me, and I have the feeling it's there in you too. Remember, ADHD doesn't have to be a mentally judicial sentence. We can break out of the prison anytime we want. The key words are, we want to break out. Plus, we're willing to do what it takes. You know something? With our creativity, we can figure a way to break out. That's what I learned about all this, and I hope you did too, from the professor. Get a kick out of that. At least I don't have a student loan, but I do know this. I'm really going to amp it up again as far as the public speaking, because I would push it aside, you know, after February. I felt solid there during the class, but now it's March and back to the old humdrum. Let's break that humdrum. Let's break the drum and make something bigger. A swimming pool. That'd be nice. There you have it. That's my soapbox edition. Okay, I have to be truthful. Did all that rah-rah-rah, was it aimed at me? Well, perhaps. But I hope you enjoyed the ride and you got something out of it. Because it was aimed at you too. Both of us. We deserve it. Let's pass the cake with a file inside. Yeah, we're going to break out. We've got some good stuff coming up for you. Yes, good stuff with a capital stuff. We have Jason Froetz dropping by way of technology, and he will give us yet another TNT/tips and tricks. And then after Jason, we've got another swell interview with a capital swell. I know I say it every time, but we've been very fortunate. Big time. I'm sure you'll enjoy the interview and maybe pick up a few tricks. Not tricks. Inspiration. That's what you'll pick up. I have that feeling. I hope you do. It's all happening right here on Club ADHD, the podcast, as I'm about to press the button for the official intro to TNT Tips and Tricks. And I'm going to press it right now. Well, maybe not now, after the music jingle. TNT, otherwise known as Tips and Tricks, featuring Club ADHD's ADHD coach, Jason Froetz. Jason, we all know there are good foods and bad foods, and sometimes the bad foods are the good tasting foods. However, when it comes to ADHD, let's put the taste aside and all that stuff. There are good and bad foods that affect our ADHD.
It's true, Russ. It's true. It's something I did not think of, in my, up until about, 30, 35 years old. I just thought I could eat anything. But I also kind of noticed, after I ate stuff that I would feel more foggy. My symptoms of ADHD got worse. I didn't know why, but, it was my coach actually that, brought it to my attention that, hey, you could be making things worse if you're eating the wrong things.
All right. And what are the things we have to watch out for?
Well, you know what? Everybody's different, but what the research shows is that if you're eating anything with like lots of sugar, you know, if you're eating lots of glucose-based foods, you know, fast foods even, but you know, stuff specifically with fructose, corn syrup, that kind of thing. Of course, there's the ubiquitous dyes, right, that are in some foods and candies that have always been associated with ADHD. I know that's been kind of more correlation than causation there. But more recently, there has been some more evidence about dyes not being helpful to ADHD. And what I find happens is just me personally has been, you know, when I have something that's high in glucose, I get a lot of energy, of course, at first. And then I have this huge crash, which is my glycemic index, you know, is going up and down. Mm-hmm. But associated with that is my focus and my mental energy. So but like it turns into more of a roller coaster. And unfortunately, I net out at a lot lower mental energy after I have something very, very sweet. So yeah, so try to avoid, you know, sugary sweet foods if you can. And if you do need a little sugar fix, have a natural sugar, but a small amount of it, you know, so maybe it's an apple or an orange or something, but don't eat the whole thing. You know, eat a little bit of it. The other suggestion I could make too is evidence has also been out there that shows that a little bit of sugar is actually a very good thing for ADHD. So a tiny bit.
Okay.
And everything is different, but it's been said that if you have a little bit of, for example, like a simple sugar like dextrose, which sometimes runners use to get some energy up. But like instead of taking a full tablet of dextrose, take like half a tablet or a quarter of a tablet before a test or an exam. A lot of the students I work with will have juice, you know, like orange juice or apple juice or something. But they've experienced the crash. They say, Jason, this doesn't work. Well, actually, you know what? Take a sip. Maybe take two or three sips, but not a whole glass of juice. It's going to be too much for you.
Crash and burn, not a good thing. That said, are there good things we can eat to help us with our ADHD?
Yeah, there are. Again, everybody's different, but if you can focus your eating on predominantly protein-based foods, it doesn't have to be meat. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, big red ribeye steak or something like that, or chicken or even turkey. You could eat nuts, navy beans and kidney beans, lentils, chickpeas, that kind of thing. So those kind of salads can be really good for you. And, you know, quinoa, that kind of stuff. Or lots of nuts, you know, so walnuts and peanuts, whatever you like. The benefit is that it gives you a longer lasting mental energy than other kinds of foods, especially sugar, of course. It's like on the opposite end of the spectrum of sugar. So I find also, too, a little tip would be to, and I do this all the time when I go to the clinic in Markham, you know, if I don't have enough time to eat lunch, which happens sometimes, I've always got my duffel bag loaded with some really high quality nut bars or granola bars. And I've got my favorites, and there's some really good ones out on the market now. And you know what? It's awesome, Russ. I have one of those, and I don't lose my mental energy for that time. And then it gives me enough time to make it through that session or what have you, and go and get a proper lunch afterwards.
Okay. So in summary, what have we learned? We've learned that ADHD can be affected by what you eat, good or bad. Find out what's good. Try to stay away from what's bad, or maybe reduce your dose. Watch out for the sugar. You'll avoid the flash and burn. Thank you, Jason. You provided, once again, valuable tips.
Hey, my pleasure, Russ. Anytime.
Today's guest hails from just outside of Toronto, in suburbia. She's had ADHD all her life, joined the club, but she wasn't officially diagnosed until she was an adult. And surprise, surprise, that happened after her daughter was diagnosed. Now that's a familiar story. She has worked around her ADHD, and at times the ADHD worked on her, and not in a positive sense. But despite that, she has been able to continue on. And that means she's created a satisfying life. Her name is Michelle. She's got an interesting story. And as per usual, we start off the interview by asking the question, when did her official ADHD diagnosis occur?
2018, when I was 39 years old.
And that makes it about a year plus change.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is still relatively new as far as you've always had ADHD, but the diagnosis is concerned. How did you handle finding out about ADHD and the fact that, hey, that's me?
I was so happy to be diagnosed, finally.
Yep.
I knew that something was a little off about me my whole entire life, and I was listening to your podcast, actually, and I thought, oh my God, I think I have it.
Wow.
And I was really struggling with my job a lot, even more than I've ever had in my entire life. And I was so happy. I was so relieved to know that I wasn't like just, you know, dumb and I couldn't get things right away.
So were you looking into ADHD before you were diagnosed?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was.
Right. How did that come about? You just happened upon it, or maybe somebody mentioned it and you thought, hey, that could be me. That's what happened to me.
My daughter actually was diagnosed with it when she was 6.
Common. That's very common.
Yeah. And at the pediatrician's office, they make you fill out a survey and questionnaire about her attentiveness and her focus. And as I was filling out the questions for her, I was like, oh, yep, ding, ding, ding.
It's quite a revelation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, to finally have an answer. I mean, people say, well, is it a blessing or a curse? It is what it is. But as far as living life not knowing, I found it to be somewhat liberating.
Really?
In a sense, you know, because I could put a handle, I could put a name to it. I went through various routes, you know. I had depression in there, and you get treated for different things. But if you're treated for something that isn't really conducive to your ADHD, even though people don't know you have it, that's not a good thing. Yeah. So, yeah, I was pleased. And then you go through the cycle. I mean, it's euphoric, and then you get a little bitter. And how did you handle it, say, after a couple of months? Was there any why me?
No why me's. Just, okay, great. I'm going to take a pill, and I'm going to be 100% better.
Oh, boy, yeah. And then what happened?
And then I wasn't. And then it wasn't the right pill.
Yeah.
And it made me really angry. But I was doing some improvements on myself and trying to change my career. So that was a great thing that I did. So I changed my career to be in daycare. So I was 15 years in sales and struggling, not loving it. And then I was like, well, I think it was that whole like 40-year-old midlife crisis thing. I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to go and go have a home daycare. So because I started the home daycare and I started my new medicine and the new medicine didn't agree with me and it made me quite the opposite. I'm like happy and chipper.
Okay.
And the medicine made me like ragey and so focused where when the kids would ask me a question, I would be distracted and be mad that I was distracted.
Yeah. Annoyed that you're taken away from your hyper focus. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And my daughter was the first one to say, like, Mom, you're not yourself. Can you please stop taking your medicine?
Oh. Do you see someone to counsel you along the way?
Yeah, I have a really amazing doctor who actually specializes in adult ADHD.
Great.
And he was the one to give me, was Concerta. And that's what was working for my daughter. So I was like, oh, this is great. We'll just be on the same medicine.
Oh, terrific. Daughter, mother, one pill.
Yeah.
And how did that go?
Well, yeah. So the medicine was okay at first, and then it made me ragey as they increased it.
Yeah.
So I actually just stopped taking it for a whole entire year.
Wow. So you went cold turkey?
I went cold turkey.
Wow. So and what then, did you do? How was that year?
It was not good.
I mean, that year must be recent because you've only been diagnosed for a year. I mean, are we just talking a few months ago or?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So 2018, now it's 2020. So in January, I went back to my doctor and so Christmas of 2019, I was not medicated. I was so hormonal and I've got an issue with my thyroid. I have a lump on my thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that the hormones were due to the thyroid, but I don't actually have like a thyroid problem. It's just a lump on it. So the hormones were actually due to ADHD not being treated, my doctor said.
Wow, that's the first time I've heard something like that. But hey, I learn something every day thanks to Club ADHD. So no ADHD. Treatment equals a lump for you.
Yeah, well, the lump, I thought it was thyroid. So there's like some kind of lump on my thyroid and it's putting pressure on my throat. And I think it was giving me anxiety attack. It was just diet and everything.
Yeah.
So the hormones I thought were due to the thyroid, but the hormones were actually unmedicated or untreated ADHD.
Wow.
That's what the hormones were.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now that you're medicated, things are better in that aspect?
Yeah. Yeah. Life is so good.
Ooh, that's interesting. Now, let's go back when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
What type of kid were you?
Really happy, bubbly, funny, sometimes funny, not on purpose, funny mm-hmm. just because I didn't clue into things right away.
And oh, okay.
People thought that was hilarious, where I was like, oh, she didn't get that joke, but she gets it now. And I really just didn't get the joke.
Oh, ditzy, I guess they call it. Yeah, just a little ditzy.
Ditzy. And I hate that word.
No, it is. It really is not a compliment.
No, it's not. Yeah. So my feelings were hurt a lot of times when – anyway, yeah. But I was like a happy kid. I was pretty good in elementary school. High school was amazing. College was not so much fun.
How did you stay focused in high school?
I have no idea. I think I had a lot of friends I cheated off of.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you're honest. Meanwhile, I'm guessing university is a whole different ball of wax. You're more or less on your own. You're an adult. You got to do things. While avoiding some of the wacky sides that freedom can bring.
Yeah.
It sounds like that didn't go well.
For sure. And then plus I had some family issues too. Like my stepmom was my life, my everything. And mm-hmm. she became depressed.
Okay.
And we didn't know a lot about that in the 90s, about depression and what the best drugs were for her to take. So I would go to college and then I would come home and my dad would say, oh, like your stepmom tried to commit suicide today. Oh, great.
Oh, fantastic. Like, yeah. What else?
Yeah.
What's for dessert? Yeah. Okay.
Right. So trying to concentrate on your studies and then, you know, your whole entire world's falling apart and then my school is hard and that is not, cleaning the way that, she would. So like just balancing all that stuff,
all going
I
to
totally
hell,
struggled.
So
yeah.
Did he say that matter of factly or was he concerned?
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, of course. It was kind of by the end of it, it was kind of like, oh, she tried to do that. But the first time, it was super duper scary. The 10th time was like, oh, well, she tried to run in front of a bus day and didn't.
Oh, it becomes old hat. Okay. Yeah.
Kind of.
Wow.
Sad. I know.
So how did you get around that? Did you graduate?
I did not.
Mm-hmm.
My GPA, I took all the courses, but my GPA was so low that I couldn't graduate.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would think that was a pretty tough time in your life. I can't imagine you feeling good about it.
Oh, no, not at all. It's hard to get a job when you don't have your diploma.
That's true. It just increases the challenge. Plus, you spent all that time and energy, and you don't have anything to show for it. Were you hit with a bout of depression because of all this?
I don't think so, because I never really saw myself as having an education being important.
I wasn't raised
with people in my family who had college educations or university education, so it was just like, well, okay.
Your father's busy trying to keep stepmom away from buses, and if you get it, you get it. And I understand. So where did you go from there?
Well, my he's my husband now, but my boyfriend at the time went into this big, huge place of employment called Home Depot.
All right.
And he got a job.
Yeah.
And he loved it. And he helped me with the math test and I got in. So I worked with Home Depot for a couple of years. And then within 3 months, they hired me full time.
Wow.
And I never looked back and never thought about it afterwards.
Wow. So, hey, Michelle, can you get me a 2x4? No, that other 2x4. Okay.
Kind of. Yeah.
Very good.
It was in the paint department, though.
Oh, so the paint department. Okay.
Yeah.
So how long were you there?
10 years.
10 years. Well, that's a good stint.
Yeah. And then I quit because I was tired of the rotating shifts.
And where do you go from there?
There was this vendor that was in a... she would go from store to store and I kind of hounded her and said, like, I like your job and I like your hours. And
all right.
Can you, like, what company do you work for? Can you, get me in? And so she did. So I was they call them like a merchandising sales rep.
Yeah.
You just go into the Home Depot, Lowe's, Rona stores and you would just go in and
they call it service, but you would just make the manufacturer's stuff look really nice.
Right,
and
do
you
the
would
displays
just,
and all that stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Could you be creative in that job?
I was really creative in that job. I loved it.
So how long did you do that?
3 years. And then they had some different, like a company shift within Home Depot, and they created their own merchandising team. So they didn't need vendors in their stores anymore. So okay. I lost my job.
Did you feel the job matched your positive ADHD traits? Sounds like it was a good match. It must have been. You were there.
It was. Yeah. Yeah, it was great. I love people. I was always around people. Uh-huh. I was able to be creative. I was able to come and go as I please. So I wasn't held down by a manager who was on me all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, a little bit of freedom. And so did you excel there? Were you doing a good job?
I was. Yeah, great. I was. I wouldn't say I was employee of the month yet because it takes a long time to get there. But yeah. I think I was pretty much at the top of the list for vendors. Yeah.
The reason I ask is that we often talk about we ADHDers. If you match us up with the right job, we'll do amazing things. And it sounds like that you were on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
now,
definitely was.
So now you're available to the marketplace. What happens then?
Well, if you can't beat them, you join them. So I joined that merchandising team within Home Depot because I like the consistency and I like the people and I like the job. So I just went back to Home Depot again.
Okay. So in this instance, your ADHD could be considered to be a plus.
Yeah.
Now, on the flip side, were there any times, any challenges in your past where you can look at now that you know about your ADHD and say, well, my ADHD was probably the reason that happened?
Definitely college.
Yeah.
If I had medicine, if I had the right medication, if I had known that I had ADHD, I would have been able to graduate from college. I would have liked to learn. I would have had an education. I wouldn't be where I am right now, but I would be where I am right now with an education.
And I've got to say, where you are right now isn't all that bad. You're an entrepreneur. You're running a daycare.
Yeah.
Now, what's that like?
It's fun. It's great. There's every day is consistently the same, but it's different. Mm-hmm. I like it. I thrive on it.
How does your daughter feel about you being diagnosed with ADHD? Are you, and it sounds a little weird, but are you bonding over that?
Yeah. I think she likes it. I think it's, we can speak the same language now.
Right.
I understand where she's coming from. I don't ride her as much anymore because I get it.
Mm-hmm.
We both take our medicine at the same time every single day.
Oh, really? Okay.
8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So you have something there. What does your husband feel about all this?
Sometimes he doesn't understand. He thinks that we make excuses.
Okay.
My son also has not been diagnosed, but I know he has it. And he's the hyper part, and my daughter's the inactive part.
Okay.
And he thinks that my son can be lazy. I don't understand why he is so active. And I totally get it. So I kind of feel like we're not always a team because it's the ADHDers against him.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because of that, maybe he sees the word, the letters ADHD, and he just, a negative.
Yeah. It's an excuse.
Problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's
always listens to me.
That's usually the way, though. Girls usually hide it better than boys. Boys tend to be more on the active side. It's not always the case, but usually that's the way it works. So would you describe yourself as somewhat laid back in school or loud and proud?
I was very loud, but I always listened.
Okay.
So I talked a lot, but I was always listening, and I liked school, and I liked the routine.
Right.
I just didn't love learning, I guess, because it was hard.
Yeah. That's a lot of people who don't understand ADHD. They can't figure out, these people don't like schools. But really, if you put us within a, not a constrained, but in somewhat of a format, we tend to go better. The neophyte would say, that doesn't make sense. No, if you add a little structure to our lives, it's actually a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So how's it with all the kids running around now? I have to ask. It's as if that once we're diagnosed with ADHD, we have ADHD radar. Do you see any ADHD, just between you and me, unofficially, in some of the kids that you take care of?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah, there was one boy last year that as soon as he was in my home for 2 hours, I was like, oh, my goodness, you could just see it. But yeah. It's hard to talk to parents about that.
Yeah. What do you do?
Number one, you have to confess that you have it.
Right. And that's sometimes not a good thing.
Yeah. And number two, you don't want to insult the parent,
right.
But you really want to help them and put that their child on kind of like on the radar for when they go to school.
I would think that it would be hard not to say something, especially with our ADHD, but to keep it to ourselves, to me, I feel that's a bit unjust, but I get what you're saying. People can get offended, especially when it comes to their kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you walk a fine line because you're not a professional.
You know,
I don't have my ECE, so what do you know kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, I actually know a lot. I'm around a lot of kids.
Sure.
I've had it all my life. My kids have it. Like, I think I'm an expert at it.
And let's face it, this is a business for you. And if you're going to upset your customers, that's not a good thing either.
Right. Because people talk.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. You don't want that bad news spread around. That person thinks my kid's this and that. Well, I'll show her. Yeah.
Exactly.
That would be a challenge. Yeah. Now, have you ever been able to somewhat subtly mention it to their parents, or do you just hold back?
I do. I will say things like, I try to entertain them by having him run outside in my backyard. Like, we're outside all the time. We're very active because he has a lot of energy and he needs to get rid of that energy. Some things like that.
Oh, so you open the door and if they want to walk through the door, then you express your observations. But if they just say, oh, isn't that interesting? Yeah, I get it. Well, that's a good way to look at it because let's face it, you have ADHD and we know what we're like, right? It's tough for us to hold back, but you're able to do it.
Yep.
So as far as where you're at now, do you see yourself handling the daycare for some time or do you look off into the future and say, no, I'm going to do something else?
My husband hates me because, sometimes I think, well, maybe there's more out there. Maybe I could do more. I don't know. Maybe within the next year when we get... we have some debt, so we're paying down our debt.
Yeah.
And I think within a year when the debt is all gone, that's when I'm going to refocus and do something else. I like to clean, so, and I have a side, I also have a side hustle.
Okay.
My side hustle is helping mom, so I'm a mother's helper.
Very good.
Yeah, so I babysit and clean houses and I organize.
Wait a minute. Whoa, wait. Stop the presses. An ADHDer organizes? Wow.
Yeah.
What's up with that? I mean, you can be hyper-focused on a lot of things, but I'd love to be hyper-focused on organizing as I look around my office. Oof.
I've heard that. Yeah. Not so much with paperwork and with offices, but with kitchens and with living spaces. I like to do that.
Michelle, there are so many people listening in saying, oh, I wish.
I know.
It's always a challenge. But then again, it's a broad spectrum and different strokes, different folks. You got to hyper focus on cleaning. And boy, I wished I had a little bit of that. Well, that's good. That's, that makes things tolerable or livable. I mean, it's not like we're cursed. I mean, you figured a way around things, and that's what we all have
for
to
sure.
do, right?
Yeah, yep.
Now, you said you didn't want to mention it to the parents of the kids that you look after. Did you tell any of your friends after the diagnosis?
Oh, yes. I was like,
yeah?
From the rooftops.
Oh,
yeah.
Now, wait a minute. I found that to be a bit dangerous because that's what I did. And you learn quickly who your friends are. Did you have any negative feedback?
No.
Great.
Most of my friends kind of knew anyway.
No surprise.
The ADHD mostly came out after my son was born. So 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Okay. There is a silver lining to this because it's obvious your friends have at least a working knowledge about ADHD, because if they didn't, if they were caught in the old stereotypes, then you might have a problem. But I think that's refreshing that they accepted it, because perhaps they knew a little about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same for us old timers. Trust me.
Yes, it's kind of new age now.
Yeah.
It's like we talk about everything now, right? Whereas,
yeah.
Well, I don't know how before, old you are, but you're
well,
right.
You know, I'm past 60, that's for sure. And when I was a kid, or even my mother passed away last year. She was in her 90s. And she finally accepted the fact that I have, well, she didn't know what to call it. She called it that thing. And she would refer to other people that thing. I said, well, you know, CBC wants to come over and interview me. And she would say, no, for fear that her friends, or they weren't many that were still living, would see, and God forbid. But yeah, you're right. Maybe, you know, a new generation, more open about it.
Yeah.
That's hopeful. That's good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And my dad is kind of in denial about it too.
Yeah.
He says, I'm just a busy mom. No offense, Dad, sorry. But I'm just a busy mom. I have a lot on my plate. If you just slow down, just, you know, stop doing things, and, you know, your life won't be so busy, and you won't talk so fast. And that's just his personality.
Michelle, just between you and me and the many people who are listening, does your dad have ADHD and doesn't know it?
Possibly. He thinks he has Asperger's.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, he thinks he has Asperger's because it runs in the family.
All right.
And he has some challenges with organizing. Like, he has some things. So he could potentially have ADHD. Yeah,
Or maybe he just has ADHD and they thought it was Asperger's. You never know. But, you know, that's interesting.
Maybe.
Yeah, it can happen.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, I'm happy to hear that you're doing well, that you've found things that match your traits. And that's what a lot of us struggle with, listening in, you know, oh, if only I could do this. And sometimes you get the luck of the draw and you get matched with a great job. And all of a sudden somebody spots it and says, hey, he or she's doing good there. Let's put him in this hole. And then the square peg doesn't fit. But it sounds like you're landing on your feet. And I'm going to give you a round of applause for that.
Oh, thank you. I'm very proud of myself.
Very good. Now, I have to ask, is that a client in the background or is that your own child?
Oh, it's a client.
A client. Sounds like a happy client.
He is pretty happy.
Very good. Well, I'm going to let you get back to it. But Michelle, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us. I found it interesting. And the fact that another round of applause for an ADHDer who knows how to organize. I said it couldn't be done. And that's what I call yet another interesting Club ADHD, the podcast interview. Good job, Michelle. Well, we've got to wrap things up. But before I do, I want to remind you that you can visit our webpage at clubadhd.ca. We have links to our Twitter account, our Facebook page, and we have an entire archive of all with a capital all, of our previous episodes when it comes to Club ADHD, the podcast. Plus, you can also drop me a line if you want. There's a link there to my email address. Before we go, I want to thank the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, CADAC, for their assistance in making all this happen. Thank you, and a round of applause to them. And don't forget to visit their website. It's full of information. Here's the address. CADAC, that's CADDAC.ca. Once again, that's CADDAC.ca. I'd also like to thank our resident Club ADHD coach, Jason Froats. Good job, Jason. And most importantly, I want to thank you, the listeners, our fellow Club ADHD members, for tuning in. I want to tell you, this thing is growing, and we want to make it bigger and better, because the bigger we are, the more people we can help. And who knows, maybe we can act as lobbyists when it comes to making changes. Wouldn't that be nice, huh? Well, now it is time to go. This is your cordial ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, reminding you to keep on the lookout, because we're still in makeup mode. Falling behind, but we're almost there. We'll have a new upload in a few days' time. And oh yeah, here's another reminder. Whenever you can, wherever you can, say it loud, say it proud, ADHD is real. Bye for now.